Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Noon Business Lunch. Terry Savage, the money lady from terrysavage.com, asked Larry Kotlikoff to join us. Terry, I'm glad you joined us in the studio.
Oh, yeah. You know, just did the commercial for Carrie Peck. Mm-hmm. I was at his office yesterday. I took my very best friend over there to get her new estate plan done.
He's the elder law attorney.
Yeah, he's the guy.
PeckRitchie.com.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yesterday, there was a headline. It wasn't a surprise to anybody, but in a way, it's a surprise and a shock. The trustees report from Social Security announced that the main old age and survivors insurance fund, the big one we think about, will be insolvent. I'm going to talk about what that word means in 2032, a year sooner than last year. And that, as I say, doesn't come as a surprise when you think about, well, you know, they gave that extra $6,000 deduction for seniors. We have a bunch of immigrants who paid in typically to Social Security and might never have collected. They're not here working anymore. The Fairness Act, remember, all those people who had, their benefits offset because they had public benefits, and then it was a good thing to do. But anyway, bottom line is the insolvency date has moved up by a year to 2032. Now, that always sounded so far away. That's 6 years away. I was talking with Lisa yesterday. She said, Terry, it'll be insolvent before the Bears get a new stadium wherever they are. You know, that's our time frame. Now, I just wave a flag here. Insolvent doesn't mean empty. It just means that benefits would have to be paid to the recipients out of money that's coming in from the current workers. There's no more cushion of a trust fund. Now, I'm going to bring Larry Kotlikoff in because he's got some interesting things to say in a minute. But on that basis, the question is, what would happen? Well, on that basis, if they take the money coming in and to pay out, they can only pay about 81% of the benefits. Larry's going to tell you it's not even a good estimate. But listen, you know, if we have robots doing work, they're not paying FICA down the road. So the implications for younger generations are great. What could you do? Let me hit you with four bullet points. One, you could immediately raise the FICA, the Social Security tax rate. To do that, the current 12.4% payroll tax, half by employer, half by employee, would need to rise to 18.1% immediately and permanently to cover projected benefits and never have to worry about it again. That's a 46% hike, which means it's 46% underfunded. Number two, you could end the cap on payroll taxes. Currently, if you earn more than this year, $184,500, they stop taking out FICA. But if they taxed all earned income, now not dividends and interest and capital gains, that might go a long way to fixing the problem, just end the cap. It would fix about 85% of the unfunded liability. A third suggestion has been, well, let's just reduce benefits proportionately when we make these cuts instead of across the board. So people with higher incomes from dividends or other retirement savings would see their Social Security benefit reduced more than the roughly 45% of people who count on Social Security for basically all they have. And four, this is not an official suggestion, but the one thing they could do is print the money. Well, that's just inflation. And it would make the cost of everything go up, and your Social Security check wouldn't cover it anyway. So this is a giant dilemma, and it is upon us. And it doesn't, I mean, when you look at our Congress today, they can't get their act on anything. Plus, by the way, they also get Social Security. So the numbers, I have a friend who calls those MIGO numbers. That stands for My Eyes Glaze Over. All these talking points assume we've got a $29 trillion deficit in Social Security. That's because they only go for 75 years. But, you know, kids being born today might be collecting Social Security more than 75 years from now. If you look at the entire deficit forever, it's more like $71 trillion, or about twice as big as the national debt. The unfunded liability of Social Security
is bigger than the national debt.
It's twice as big as the national debt. Okay, now everybody out there is going, I hope you're not driving. Don't go off the road, you know, if you're driving.
No, but the four bullet points that you offered to me are not impossible or some combination thereof.
Will they do anything? And is that the right fix, or will they just do a little bit? Larry Kotlikoff, my co-author of Social Security Horror Stories, is the acknowledged expert on Social Security financing. He originally wrote the book, Get What's Yours from Social Security. He has a website, MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com and Maxify Planner, which does all this work. I think there's nobody that knows more and is less afraid to explain what the real problem is, because the real problem is everybody's been ducking their head in Washington and everywhere else. This is coming in 6 years.
Here is Larry Kotlikoff, the professor of economics at Boston University and a regular guest on this show with Terry Savage. Larry, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
Terry, what's the first question?
Okay, well, you know, everybody's scared. Larry's the one I trust to answer these kinds of questions. How scary is this, Larry? Is this headline stuff? Could it really happen that people won't get some benefits, all of their benefits? How scary is it? Where do you put this?
It's super scary. It's not just that Social Security is beyond broke. The entire fiscal operation of our country we're really in much worse shape than Italy if you scale things to GDP. So what Social Security does is it makes a calculation, the actuaries, and that you were referencing, Terry, and it puts it way in the back of the report that comes out every year. It's table 6F1, Roman numeral 6F1, and it shows the unfunded obligation through the infinite horizon. That's the unfunded liability of the system, and it's really equivalent to federal debt. It's the off the books debt to Social Security, not the on the books debt that is connected to Treasury bills and bonds that the government issues and takes our money back. Here it takes our money in the form of payroll taxes, but promises future benefits that they don't put on the books. So when you put everything on the books and you subtract out the revenues that the government's going to be collecting into the future, and you figure out what's the value today in present value? If we had to pay off this whole thing today, how much would it amount to? $71.9 trillion. Our GDP is around $30 trillion. So we're talking more than 2 years of GDP. So this thing is in terrible, terrible shape. 46% underfunded is what you said. And that's because we would have to raise the payroll tax from 12.4% to 18.1%. Okay, so everybody's looks at their FICA, number on their pay stub, and they see every month, and they see that that they're getting nailed by this pretty nasty tax, but it would have to go up by 46%.
Yeah. Well, if that was the only means by which you repaired it, what would your recommendation?
That's the way we did it. Yeah.
But it could be a blend of things, or it could be a less than 100% fix. Maybe the first question should be, what do you think Congress is poised to do? And I know nothing is one answer, but what do you see as a possible path for Congress?
Well, as Terry said, they could eliminate the ceiling on Social Security taxes, the earning ceiling, the covered earning ceiling, which is around 180K or so. And that would, if they eliminate it entirely, that would raise about 85%, fix it.
Okay, stop right there, because I think that is the most logical and easy one to do. When you make your $185,000th dollar, that will now also be Social Security tax.
Right.
And too bad for you if you thought you got a raise after 184. You don't, but for the first several months of the year, you weren't getting that raise anyway. Let's continue to tax
those
people.
We should have done that a while ago, but now you have an administration in Washington that is all about
They favor the wealthy class. Okay, but
no. Well, first of all, the wealthy class. I'll ask Larry this. I think a lot of upper income people have dividends, have borrowings from their corporate stock that they spend. I'm not sure that you're really going to get the billionaires with this, because they typically don't have earned income like payroll income. But you got corporate CEOs making $30 million a year. So yes, you could raise some.
What a bite in the butt for them. Okay, Larry, what's your thought about this fix?
So I think, I think there's a better way to deal with Social Security. We'll talk about it in a second. But just on this option, it doesn't, you know, a lot of people are making in that range. It's not just the top 1%. It's probably the top, you know, 10% are already in that range of earnings. So you're talking about putting them into marginal tax brackets that when you take into account state taxation and federal income taxation and sales taxation, which is kind of an indirect, partly an indirect wage tax, you're talking about putting people into marginal tax brackets around, you know, 68%. So we have to think about incentives for people to work. And so that's one of the concerns. I would prefer, if you're going to go a tax route, to have a value-added tax.
Okay.
Because that will get the rich people, that, you know, Elon Musk is not taking a salary, so he's not paying any FICA tax. But when he goes and buys, you know, expensive dinner, he would have to pay the value-added tax. But also this would be a value-added tax that would be imposed on the rental. You know, if he's got, owns 50 homes, each one is throwing off rental income in effect. He's in effect renting from himself, and that's a form of consumption that should be included in the base. So he would have to pay tax on his use of all.
Okay,
his
so a value added tax. Let's stand by for just a minute, and we'll hear. I'm all for solutions. Maybe you've seen the headlines about the pending insolvency of Social Security. Maybe you didn't want to read it, but Larry Kotlikoff did. In fact, he wrote some of that. And then there's Terry Savage, our money lady here. And we're talking about the viability of Social Security. Is it going to be there for you? And what can we do to make sure that it is there for you or your kids or grandkids? Right, Terry?
Absolutely. Larry's got some great ideas, but I know what you're thinking out there. Wait a minute. What am I supposed to do now? But first, I want you to hear Larry's other idea. One was a value-added tax.
Right. So he said on the things like if Elon Musk, well, let's let Larry explain. Just give me the headline.
We call it a tax on imputed rent on your durables and your cars and your airplanes and your yachts, on your homes. You're getting consumption services from all that. Economists know how to calculate what's that worth, and that's just consumption, like going to the restaurant. So everything that you consume would be, whether here or abroad, would be subject to taxation. This consumption.
Yeah, well, they'll never get that. Right. What's your other idea,
Larry? Things are pretty desperate. You know, what we're talking about here is not a 21% or 19% cut in benefits, but really, what's needed is about a 31% cut in benefits immediately and permanently, because things get worse over time. Social Security is just talking about, you know, running out of money. That's just one cash flow calculation. It's not the long-term picture. The long-term picture is either a 46% tax hike, immediate or permanent, or a 31% benefit cut, immediate and permanent. And Terry's right, we're not going to do either. So we have to do something radically different. And my idea would be that we retire Social Security. It's over 75 years old, and it's really you know, got all kinds of problems, as we've written in our Social Security Horror Story book. But here's what I would do. I would shut down Social Security at the margin. I would pay off everything we owe under the current system to current beneficiaries who would not be impacted by this reform proposal, and to current workers. Their earnings records would be filled with zeros going forward, so that when they retired, they would get everything that they've accrued up to this point, but there'd be no future accrual. So we'd shut down the system at the margin. We'd maintain the payroll tax, the FICA tax. We drop it to about 10% from 12.4, and then gradually have it decline. But over time, that payroll tax would pay for the accrued benefits under the old system. And then at the same time, we would start a new system. I call it the personal security system. It's Wall Street would have no role in this whatsoever. It wouldn't make a penny. What would happen is that you would contribute 10% of your pay to your individual account. It would be split between you and your spouse or legal partner. And it would all be invested collectively along with everybody else's money in a global market index of stocks, bonds, U.S. and foreign, around the world, real estate funds, so that And it would all be done by my laptop could do it, because everybody's been invested the same way, fully diversified. There's no big problem here for a single laptop to run the entire system. And then in your retirement ages, you would have your money converted into on a birth year basis. Your accumulated funds would be invested in inflation index bonds collectively, and that money would be used to pay an annuity of a pension that would be inflation indexed through time, so that you would be getting we'd be moving to a fully funded Social Security system, a modern version of Social Security that is very similar to what they have in Holland, for example, or in Denmark, where countries are running, are not in this kind of a debt problem.
Okay.
So, all right, but I'm going to call time out.
The last point is that the plan would guarantee that you get back at least what you put in adjusted for inflation. So there'd be a floor to, if the markets for some reason didn't work, the international global market for decades, then, and you didn't get a positive real return, you would get at least back.
At least your money back.
Okay,
time out. Inflation.
Time out. This is why I know one day Larry's going to get the Nobel Prize in economics. Look, the VAT's a creative idea. This is an extraordinarily creative idea. We can't even get Congress to figure out how to maybe raise the cap a bit on your earnings to collect more, or deal with cutting benefits if they have to. And it's 6 years away, and we know the likelihood. So I'm going to ask you this, Larry, because since this report came out, I've been stopped in the street. Do you still think we should wait till 70 to take our benefits?
If the money's not going to be there down the road, I might as well get my money now, Larry.
I don't think that they're going to adjust Social Security by cutting benefits, because that's political suicide. And members of Congress who are almost all waiting till 70 to collect are not going to cut benefits for themselves. But even if there was a roughly a 20% cut in benefits at 70, the gain from waiting is so substantial, it wouldn't be as large as it is right now without that cut. But even with the cut, there'd be a huge gain from waiting for most people. So we have this, $49 tool that's called MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. It can figure this out in seconds, exactly what what do you get over the rest of your life, measured in present value, measured correctly.
Sure.
If you take it immediately at 60, let's say as early as possible, 62, versus waiting till 70, yes, you're giving up 8 years, but you're getting a 76% higher number for the rest of your life thereafter. And
as long as you're alive, most people don't do that, and it makes Terry crazy, and probably you do as well. But some people want to take the money earlier because they want to get their hands on their cash, or they don't think they're going to live long enough to actually be on the right side of that equation.
So let me just respond to that, because this is really important. We can't count on dying on time. We this longevity risk is enormous. We have a lot of people living to 100. My mom passed in 98. We can't take that chance, just like you can't not get catastrophic insurance for health insurance or your house burns down entirely or you total your car. Whenever it comes to insurance and risk, we always go to the worst-case scenario because it's the worst case.
Sure.
And here the worst case is you live to 100. So you can't count on dying on time. You have to.
I understand that, but that falls on a lot of deaf ears, and it's not my job to fix them. But
job, and that's why I brought Larry on.
Okay, but okay, wait. I just want to finish this thought, though. But then to the people who say, I think I should start taking Social Security early because I'm afraid that the money won't be there. Some people are going to do that anyway. But to the degree that this motivates them, you say, no. Congress is not going to cut those benefits. They're going to find some other way. You don't need to start taking it early just to get your sticky fingers on the cash. That's what I'm hearing you say.
That's basically my view. They might go after, the rich. There's going to be a backlash to this entire billionaire world, and zillionaire world that we're living in. And you can see it all over happening in different places. So they could try and differentially cut the benefits of the rich, but more likely they will raise the ceiling on the payroll tax.
This is the thing. I want you to tell me what to tell my member of Congress. So, like, all these things and your personal social security system, your personal security system, which sounds like 401k, is it would be a massive rewriting of that part of the federal code in our lives. What could you give me something tangible I could just call up my congressman and go, hey, I need you to do this. And A, pay attention to the problem. B, do what?
I'd like you to say, you know, do all these little things that are a little painless, but this problem is so massive that we have to do radical surgery. Now, this proposal I have is not new in the world. Chile adopted this in 1981, this kind of a reform. Argentina adopted it. There are many countries in Europe did this as well. So personalizing the system in this manner, it's doable. You can write one line of law that says, there's no more accrual under the old system. You put this other system in place. It's got like 8 bullets to do it. It's doable.
Okay.
I'm happy to go down to Washington and actually enact, implement it.
Terry, we have to say goodbye to our guests. What do you want to say?
Larry, thank you for being there. Everybody feels this very personally. And it's the one thing I think, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you need to write to your congressperson, your representative, and say, pay attention. It's time to start talking about this and not all the other junk they're dancing around, because this is going to affect every single one of us. Our kids, too, because guess what? One more thing, Larry. Our kids are being asked to pay in. They're taking 12.4% out of their paychecks. And if it won't work for those of us who are getting it already or are approaching it, how can we burden our kids with pouring this money in that they'll never see?
I was thinking about my son, who's young in his career, and I think, God, I hope that money's there for him.
The bills of our country that will not be paid by the projected taxes right now, if we left them all for people that are born this year and thereafter, would constitute, again, doing the calculation correctly and taking into account the demographics and the immigration, everything, would constitute 104% of their future labor income.
Well, thank you very much.
It's on my website, kotlikoff.net.
Kotlikoff.net and the...
And MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com.
Thank you very much, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
In passing, he mentioned a couple of times immigration. I mean, if we had more people coming in and paying into the system, that would be helpful. But we are doing everything we can.
And
he didn't
dwell
on that.
Robots won't pay FICA. If they're doing the jobs, they are not going to be paying into Social Security.
A few more minutes with Terry Savage. This hour, we've spent most of the time on the noon business lunch talking about Social Security. And will it be here for you down the road? What are some possible fixes? Lots of comments from our listeners about this.
I'm not surprised. It's a very big topic. You know, remember Ross Perot and the hockey puck of debt? That's a long time ago.
I'm about to do my Ross Perot.
How
was that? Thank you.
I still have that button, Ross Perot for president.
The man with the charts. Hey, if you look at this chart.
It looks like a hockey puck. One day the debt will overwhelm us. Well, you know, let's leave aside Social Security. We've been talking about the huge unfunded liability and promises of that. The national debt. Now, it's increased $2 trillion this year. I mean, we're at $32 trillion.
All right, so here's some solutions. 262 says, it's not as complicated as Larry suggests. The people with the most wealth who benefit from the toils of the working class have to pay more. In California, weren't they talking about a value tax, your total wealth tax?
Right, and all the wealthy people left.
I'm not...
Well, we've seen that.
That does not scare me. That does not scare me.
Well, it scares California.
You could find them. If it was a federal VAT tax or
value
tax.
If it were a federal tax.
Where are they going to go then?
John, just a historical perspective. Mm. You know, the top tax bracket today, federal tax bracket, is in the mid-30s, 36.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what it was when John F.
It was 99%.
It was 92%.
Okay, I was wrong.
When Kennedy cut the top tax bracket from 92%.
I don't know what the point of that is. That's ridiculous.
Well, so
that's not going to happen.
Americans lived under that kind of
regime. Okay,
well,
then maybe we could suffer a little higher tax on the wealthy.
We are about... This is one of the first of many discussions, because in multiple ways today that's what's going on. is a giant discussion about the disparity of wealth. It happened in the era of the robber
barons.
But
what are you saying about this?
I'm saying that this is something that's going to threaten the fabric of American democracy.
Well, I think it's already threatened.
It is.
But are you arguing for or against taxing the rich more?
Well, one of the things I know is that which you tax, you get less of, and that which you subsidize, you get more of. Basic principle of econ,
yeah.
You know, like buy low and sell high in the stock market.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that the way out of our economic problems was through growth. And when you tax incentives to grow, or if you tax, you know, just take the
where's
couple,
the growth
the
getting us
making
now? So Elon Musk has as much as the top 20% of the U.S. economy. How is that helping us?
Oh, well, we're going to have this debate for weeks and months to come.
We are
the
out
point
of time.
Is, if you as Larry pointed out, if you raise that cap from $184,500,
yeah.
Well, there are people here who don't think they're rich.
I mean, I don't think $184,000 is rich.
Exactly. Who are making $250 or $275, but whatever it is. They would have a what did he say, a 56% or 62% tax bracket that they would be in.
Yeah, but I think that was on the last dollar earned, by the way.
On the last dollar earned.
Sure.
But the fact of the matter is, at what point? Here's the question.
You're describing the pain.
It's the art of plucking the goose that lays the golden egg. You want to just pluck the goose enough, but not kill it. And at what point do you raise taxes on working people where they go, why am I working Saturdays? Why am I doing this?
When I have to pay an additional amount.
More than half of what I make goes to the government. This is very critical for the future of America to figure this out, right?
Today's not the last day that we'll talk about it. I'm glad we are talking about it. And it's not up to Larry and Terry and John to talk about it. It's for those pigeons in Washington, D.C.
Exactly.
To pay attention to this conversation. Thank you, Terry Savage.
Thank you,
The Money Lady joins us on Wednesdays.